This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
And you are listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. I'm Megan.
I'm Michelle. And we are joined tonight by my guest, Joe Hurst. Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Hello.
Now, a bit of an intro there. Got a bit of a stuff up.
Oh, we love technology when it works well for us.
You gotta love it. Now, tonight on Transpositions, we are discussing... what are we discussing? We're discussing midsummer. We're discussing Joe and talking about gender diverse children as well as midsummer.
Yeah.
And I probably mentioned midsummer as well.
Midsummer carnival this Sunday. Can't wait. Yeah, it's going to be really cool. Hey, actually, the last track we heard was a Bowie track. And obviously something happened, the past couple of days with David Bowie passing away. Chris Jamieson, who many listeners here will know, who listen to Joy on a regular basis, he mentioned to me today that it's important to have heroes. And, really reflecting a lot of things that what Chris said about that, I think for many people in the LGBTI community, and particularly for those who are trans and gender diverse, David Bowie was definitely a hero to us. So it obviously is a bit of a big event that's happened, and he's a very sad passing, and he will be missed by many people in the community.
Most definitely. He's done so much for the community. It's just... You know, it's sad to see. I remember going getting home last night and was like, oh my goodness, yeah. is this for real?
It was for real. Hey, that track that was played, was it Boys or something like that?
Yeah.
Well, I know that we had the Worldwide Wife boys in here because the boys have gone and now it's all the girls.
Oh my God, as soon as they left the room, it was like, this room is so full of testosterone smelling.
It was. And it's like, just become the girls. Yep, it's all good.
Exactly. Thank you, boys. We appreciate that.
We have now painted the room. It's gone from blue to pink. All good.
Now, like I said before, our guest tonight is Joe Hurst. Joe is the author of The Gender Fairy, and Joe is a proud parent of a transgendered boy. And so we're going to be discussing a bit about the work she does dealing with different transgender children. Now, if you have any questions for myself, Megan, or Joe, you can SMS us at 0427-JOY949. Or
you can also email us on air at joy.org.au. We want to hear from you. We've got a couple of questions that we want you to reply to. First one, I'm trying to make a decision here. So I finished up last year with saying, that's it, I'm finishing up with Transpositions.
But Mingsy missed me and she wanted to come back and play with me.
I did. So I did miss my time with Michelle and sort of how important this show is for people. So I want you... to send us a text message or send us an email, whatever you think. Should I return or should I just go? Should I just sort of wander off and flitter into
We're letting the listeners decide whether you stay or go.
Yeah, absolutely. Come on, guys. So what do you want? Do you want me to stay or do you want me to go? Because we're doing this for you and you get to decide my fate. You do. But also we've got other things as well that we want people to do. And if you've got a question for our lovely guest, Joe, anything to do with the awesome book that she wrote or about her personal story, please send us text messages 0427-JOY949 or email
at on air at joy.org.au.
That's it, Michelle. Oh, my God.
Now, let's jump into some of the news here.
All right.
Now, the first thing that's coming out of the news here is the Washington, D.C. Police Gay and Lesbian Liaison Unit is changing its name to the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Liaison Unit. The department said in a statement Monday that the new name stems from an effort to being more inclusive of all members of the LGBT community. The change, the police said, will be recognizable to all members of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender communities who seek the department's help. So in recent years, members of the transgender community in particular, guys, have questioned whether the police have been sufficiently sensitive and attentive to their concerns. And in 2015, a leader of a group called Gays and Lesbians Opposing Violence said it was important to call attention to crimes with transgender victims after a string of attacks involving gay and transgender victims. People see transgendered as a target, Hassan Navid said. People attack certain people because they perceive them as being weak. We want people to realize that it is happening. So what do you guys think on that one?
Well, look, you know, we've got the GLOWs here, which is Gay and Lesbian Liaisons Officers with the Vic Police, and those guys are amazing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think they're doing an absolutely amazing job.
You had Gabby Tayak come through a little while ago.
I did. She came in just recently, actually, yeah. and it was really good to have a chat with her about that.
She's a totally awesome woman.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, I've met up with her a couple of times, and, yeah, she's just great to listen to.
What do you think, Joe?
Well, I would hope that the police department would be supportive of any transgender employees as well.
Oh, of course. Oh, I would hope so.
Well, definitely in this country, at least.
In this country.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely, obviously. Yeah.
So how about the Golden Globes there, Mixi?
Well, actually, the Golden Globes. Well, we're not going to talk about Ricky Gervais, are we?
No. No, well, I don't think so.
The sort of what he said about Caitlyn Jenner and the big year that she's had.
The thing is you've got a guy who's a comedian, and that's his shtick. He's all about, you know, criticism and whatever. And so you have to have a bit of humility in dealing with that. But I think everyone was too sensitive on the transgender thing.
Don't think he understood the insult about the dead naming.
No.
I think he
don't dead name. You just don't.
And I don't think he understood that at all.
Yep.
No. I think he thought he was being respectful, making a joke about her car accident rather than her gender.
Yep.
But really, it's not funny either, making a joke about someone dying in a car accident.
Yeah, seriously, Joe.
No,
I think it's just
then making it about women.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's kind of a bit not appropriate. But what was interesting as well is the nominations which came out of it. Transparent, Orange is the New Black, and a Danish Girl. Actually, Danish Girl, that's going to be a big one because Monday night, Joy's actually got a... If you go to joy.org.au to our website, there's actually a special pre-screening that Joy's actually hosting, which I'm looking forward to.
Oh, definitely.
I'm going to go to that.
Are you?
Yeah. I want to see it. But we were talking off air about the Danish Girl and about Eddie Redmayne and how we thought that maybe a cis actor was probably the most appropriate person for that role because of what everything was like back then.
What bits I've seen of it that were shown to me, he definitely did his homework, and I think he did the character justice, and I believe watching it did require a cisgendered actor to play that role. Mm-hmm. Different people have different opinions, but for me, going so far as to be as us, you know, trying to detransition and look more masculine, forget it. It just isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, and look, and the feedback from the Hollywood, the GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, they're saying that over 60 years, Hollywood has largely portrayed trans people as either psychotic killers or the butt of jokes. And only recently have films and television portrayals begun to move beyond these offensive, defamatory stereotypes, which is, you know, I think that totally just gets a complete, you know...
And articulating a narrative.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So definitely a good one. Ooh, here we go. This is one I think you're big on, Joe. School for LGBT youth. LGBT youth called first of its kind in Georgia. A private school in Georgia aimed at attracting lesbian, gay, bi, and trans youth and teachers, as well as being established in Atlanta for students who feel bullied or not accepted in traditional schools. And so it's a school where kids can be fully have permission to be themselves, as well as educators. And it's scheduled to open up in September 2016.
Mm. I can see why that would be really necessary down south in America, but I think we're better than that in Australia. I see that as segregation, and I think we are very good at supporting diverse youth and teachers in
schools. Think, because it's a private school, do you see it as segregation, or do you think see it as an option that's being offered?
I do. I guess it's an option that's being offered in America because perhaps those children are being bullied at school and the teachers as well. And that's unacceptable. I think we need to fix that. And I think we need to make sure that everyone can assimilate into the workplace and into the school ground perfectly happily. And I think that is happening in Melbourne, but we don't have the laws to make sure that happens in private schools in Australia. No. And I think that really needs to change.
A lot of private schools seem to go and jump on the religious thing and saying, well, our religious beliefs and our religious, you know.
Well, the thing is, like, under the Sex Discrimination Act, the Federal Sex Discrimination Act, there are exemptions for discrimination.
And I'm sorry, but religious views don't trump human rights. It's really not acceptable.
No. Look, and I'm going to play the other side of the coin of it as well. I mean, you look at all boys schools, all girls schools, and yeah, I do see it as an option if your kid's really struggling and maybe a, you know, a full school that's run it. But you're right. There shouldn't have to be an option. There shouldn't have to be
And yet we do have transgender youth being supported in single-sex schools as the opposite sex.
A Safe School Coalition?
Through the Safe Schools Coalition. Yeah, absolutely. Safe Schools Coalition are absolutely amazing. I don't know what we would do without them.
Oh, they are amazing, aren't they?
Yeah. Totally.
Now, speaking of the Danish girl, Qatar.
Oh, Qatar, the country.
Yeah.
I almost moved there at one stage.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well,
I look very different then.
Yeah. Here's a bit of, if you tried to actually transition there, sounds like it would have a problem. Oh. Because the Danish girl has actually been banned in Qatar.
Oh, shut up.
Because protests online about the depravity of the film, which had begun screening at some cinemas in Doha this month. The screening had provoked an angry reaction among the cinema goers. One viewer complained about the film's moral depravity after seeing the trailer.
What do you guys think? What are you listening to that? Do you think that the Danish girl is deprived? Send us a message 0427 joy 949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. We don't think it's deprived, but we want to hear what you say about it, so let us know.
Yeah. So I definitely give them a bit of a, you know, guitar.
Yeah, guys, if you think the same thing, please let us know.
Now, there's a very positive last thing we have here is transgender Manitobans can have sex designation changed on marriage registrations. Now, Manitoba is a province of South Central Canada. And let's see here. And you can actually have their sex designation changed on marriage registrations starting in March. The government saying we are pleased to see the province continue to move forward with changes to the transgender community and that they've been asking for. And changing one's gender identity is a significant step, and it's good to know that the official steps or paperwork continue to be streamlined.
Which is totally awesome.
That is amazing.
Different parts of Australia, same things happening as well. New South Wales, Alexander Greenwich, I think his name is. He's an MP, independent MP of Sydney. They're trying to do similar things in New South Wales as well. I'm looking forward to that because I was born in New South Wales. And maybe I'm being a bit selfish, but there's different parts of Australia which are doing that.
Now you're going to be able to go and get your stuff done, finally.
A couple of things which are being looked at in New South Wales, and I think it's also the same thing here. I had a chat with Martin Foley a while ago, but up in New South, what they're looking at doing is changing legislation so you don't have to have gender affirmation surgery.
Yeah.
And also, the other thing as well is not having to be divorced.
Yeah, so, and that's great too
that's
as well.
Great.
Which is the same thing as up in Manitoba.
Yep.
Anyway, that is the news for this week. We will be back shortly after a few messages. Mm-hmm. You are listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. You are listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. I am Michelle, joined by Megan and our guest, Joe Hurst. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
So we have got Joe Hurst in with us tonight, and Joe's come to spend some time with us. Joe, what actually brought you in here? How come you here to see us?
You invited me. Thank you.
But you went and did, so we did invite you. But you went into something really, really cool. Can you tell us a little bit what you did?
I wrote a picture book for transgender children aged 4 and up. Mm-hmm. It's called The Gender Fairy, and it's a picture book about two children who are feeling they are not recognised as themselves, and a non-binary fairy comes along and says, yes, you can be who you are and wear the clothes that make you feel the most comfortable and play with the toys you enjoy the most. And yes, of course, you can use the correct toilet and everyone will use the right pronoun and you can choose your own name. And it has notes at the back of the book for parents and teachers to help explain it to the class or to other children.
Now, you have a transgender son.
I do.
How old is your son?
He's 7, almost 8 now, but nice. He was 6 when he transitioned, so okay. he was halfway through prep.
Nice.
I've got a son who's about the same age.
Oh, I've got a daughter. I got a daughter about the same age as
yeah.
well, too.
That's so cute. Yeah.
So, and when your son came out, you have become quite active within the community with bringing together different parents and different groups and.
Yeah, I'm part of a group called Gender Help for Parents Australia, which is a private group for parents of gender diverse children. So not just transgender children, but a child who's gender diverse. So, for example, we have young boys who wear what's typically called female clothing to school and things like that. And this group is incredibly supportive. I don't know what we would do without each other, quite frankly. And some of us meet up on occasion in Melbourne, and the children get to play with each other, and the parents get to talk to each other. And it's a really important thing for everyone.
One of the things I was sort of going to say, and a little while ago I interviewed Jessica Watson, and she's the daughter of a transgender woman. Her parents' name is Tina. Tina came in here.
I've met Tina, yes.
Tina's a beautiful person.
Speaking of Tina, and I'm sure Tina's probably listening, it's Tina's birthday today.
Happy birthday, Tina.
Happy birthday, Tina.
But one of the things that I wanted to join when I was talking to Jessica was the whole idea of normalisation of being trans to children, because what's normalised with children, that it's okay for girls to be princesses and boys to be princes and all these different types of things, where we start to reinforce gender stereotypes.
That's right.
So what you've done as well is you've gone and written a book predicated upon what your experience is with your son coming out as being trans, to once again try and normalise the whole trans perspective and trans narrative.
Absolutely, and there's a lot about gender stereotyping in the book as well. So there's, for example, when the children are born, they're inundated with pink and blue presents and given certain types of clothing to wear.
Now, one of the things that you're really passionate about is sharing what's going on within the youth community and things like that with the parents and the gender diversity. Now, I'm kind of curious, even though you wrote a book around the gender fairy, I'm actually quite curious, obviously being so supportive, how are you when you first actually realized your child was a boy and not a girl? How did you take
it? It was a steep learning curve, as it is for all parents. Most of us. It was a shock, I guess. I knew that something was going on from a very young age, from 18 months of age. I could see that there was a gender issue, but I just thought, oh, he's just a tomboy.
It's a phase.
It's a phase. Maybe he'll just be gay. So that's what a lot of us go through that. I won't say all, but a lot of us go through that. But when he actually came out and told me, it was very in my face. I couldn't ignore that.
How did he say it to you?
He said, I think the doctors have made a mistake. He said, can that happen? I had to say yes, the honest answer.
Is there a common sort of way the children of these groups that you're a part of, is there usually a common thing that the children say or come out with that the parents pick up on that you all discuss amongst yourself when they first found out?
Everybody's different. A very common thing is from a young age, a lot of children will say, I'm not a girl, I'm a boy. Mm. And they will, and some children will actually try and harm themselves, and that's not an unusual thing. But every child's different. Some children feel more confident about speaking out. Some children just don't have the language to say that. Everyone's different. Some children don't realise until puberty and they're suddenly shocked that they're going through the wrong puberty. So everybody's different.
Because they're starting to develop the secondary sex characteristics. And
Yeah, I think a lot of people who are trans can identify that going through that wrong puberty, you know, it's sort of, you know, it's like, no, my body's doing the wrong things. It's supposed to be doing something. It's supposed to be growing things here instead of growing body hair where it's not supposed to be.
Absolutely, and I think that's one of the things that we are trying to advocate for our kids is the laws which you'll be aware of around stage 2 hormones, gender-affirming hormones. At the moment, our children can access hormone blockers when they need them, but when they reach the age of 16, they are forced to go to court and spend up to $30,000 and have a very, very long waiting period and an invasive process to access gender-affirming hormones.
So that they're actually forced at 16 to go to court?
Yeah, that's right. So that actually puts it out of reach of a lot of people. So what actually happens is that in our support group, we've often got parents coming in saying, my child is in a mental health unit with a suicide attempt or suicide ideation because these hormones are out of their reach and the blockers aren't working, or they're too old for blockers, or they know it's not in the, going to be in the next year, and they have no hope. They've withdrawn from school. They've withdrawn from life. It is such a discriminatory law. We are fighting so hard for awareness and change.
Why does that law exist? What's it predicated upon?
Oh, Australia is the only country in the world to have this law. Other countries, you just go to the doctor and you are assessed and you are given the right treatment. In this country, you go to the doctor. Your doctors say, right, this child needs this treatment because they will probably kill themselves otherwise.
So if you're 16 years old and you're on blockers and you decide not to go to court, do they take you off blockers immediately, or what's the
No, you can stay on blockers, but sometimes they're not effective at that age. Or you might have a child who's been on blockers since puberty, and they may have reached puberty really early, and that's too long to be on blockers.
Yeah.
So the blockers might stop working. There's all sorts of different things that can happen.
That's just sad.
And 18 is too long to wait.
It is way too long.
For puberty. Way too long. You can imagine you've got a girl going her voice is deepening every day, and that's irreversible. And a boy getting his period where he shouldn't be.
Exactly.
Oh,
it's crazy.
It is crazy. Well, if you do have any questions, or you're dealing with anything similar yourself with any of your children or whatever, feel free to SMS us at 0427-JOY949, or you can email us at onair@joy.org.au. You are listening to Transpositions at Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. We so had to listen to that, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Who was it?
Come on. Gorillaz, Feel Good Inc.
Hey!
Yay!
I like some of their music. They got some good tracks, and that was one of them. Absolutely awesome.
So we are talking to Joe, who is a parent of a trans boy. And Joe is pretty active in the communities around the trans youth. So what are the groups, some of the groups you're part of?
Gender Help for Parents is my main support group. Mm-hmm. Transcend was a group which I'm not sure is around anymore, but they were fantastic.
I think they have folded up.
I think so. Mm. They were fantastic as well and did a lot of good work. And that is my... So I'm on a lot of sort of secret Facebook groups for parents in Australia and internationally as well.
Yeah, they would have to be pretty secret.
A lot of them are very secret. And stuff. Yeah, Canada and international and American and New Zealand and
now
all
we
over
have,
Australia.
We have talked a lot off air about different things. I know we're trying to be a bit gentle with our wording.
Yes, we were talking about being gentle.
Yes, yes. Now, what are some of the struggles? Yes, we've talked about the laws around blockers and hormones and things like that. But what are some of the other struggles that you are come across as a parent or as a trans youth within the community?
Okay. Well, most of our schools, in fact, all our government schools in Victoria are very, very supportive and use the Safe Schools Coalition, which is a fantastic organisation. Interstate, I don't think they necessarily get as much support as we do, but private schools have no obligation to work with LGBT kids and help children transition at all. So I think laws could definitely be looked at there.
Look, having my one foot still dipping in the American pool. Mm. You know, I hear a lot of things over there with the different universities
dreadful.
And how, you know, they can say due to their religious beliefs, they don't have to cater towards transgender or any LGBT child, student, whatever, and their needs. Do we find the same thing happening here within the private schools?
It can happen. We do have private schools and even religious schools who do support transgender students, but obviously there are some that don't. Mm. And we had last year a Christian school which was incredibly harmful to one of our young children, which was incredibly sad. It was like something out of America.
What are some of the things that they just forced them to...
They really said they were going to go along with the transition in safe schools, but in reality they didn't. They wouldn't accept this child's gender. They wouldn't accept this child's name. They actually forcibly removed this child from a girl's line and put them in a boy's line and shouted at them. And then the mother withdrew the child from the school and put them in a very supportive school now.
So they were dead-naming the child and everything?
Yeah, I think it was a bit worse than that, but yes.
So what was the rationale for doing that? Was there any specific
It was just a teacher who didn't agree. The child said, "But you don't understand, sir." And he said, "Yes, I do understand. I just don't care."
Yeah, that's not exactly respectful.
No.
Which, you know, teenagers are in a difficult sort of position in life. So
and in a government school that wouldn't happen. Well, it wouldn't be allowed to happen. But in a private school, it's allowed. And I just don't understand that. I do not understand why our laws don't cover these things. I mean, these schools get government funding.
Mm. Yeah, it's basically you would classify that as being harassment.
Yeah.
And harassment's illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it depends as well on if the school, you know, has that religious.
Yeah, which once again gets back to the Federal Sex Discrimination Act and the exemptions that are associated with and that if there is for religious grounds and those kinds of things. But even still, everyone's people.
Well,
it's crazy.
Everything becomes like this grey catch 22, even in the States as well. It's like, there's this discrimination things, you know, there's anti-discrimination, but then there's like the religious, but then you can't, and it's like boing, 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 at the end of the day.
I think there are things you choose and there are things you don't, and religion is something you choose, and gender and sexuality and race are things you don't choose. It's that simple.
This is what Jo's going to do. She's going to walk into places and just give them one of these.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, you know, people choose to be assholes. Really, it comes down to it sometimes.
Yeah,
they really do.
Yeah.
So what are some of the positive things you've seen within your groups that you've...
Amazing positive things. We've seen some incredible things. We've seen most kids being incredibly supported at school. Children understand beautifully. They are not born with any prejudices. They are completely accepting. And most teachers and principals and school communities wanting to really support our kids as well. And we also have boys who identify as boys being able to wear the school dress to school and dresses and gender fluid children being accepted at school. Mm. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, because with the gender fluid as well, that's even more amazing that that's even being accepted because obviously they don't identify as trans, but they're actually more comfortable occasionally presenting as the gender that they feel for the day.
The non-binary aspect can be more confusing for people, and as you say, using the they pronoun for children can be a steep learning curve for people, but they're doing it.
Have you seen a lot of parents come in who are really struggling within the group and have a massive turnaround, or do you see parents within the group who are still struggling with the whole transition?
All of it. It's a very difficult thing. I mean, you worry about your child, you worry about what they're going to face in life, you worry if you're making the right decisions to help your child, whether you're making their life more difficult, whether you're doing the right thing. It's a really, really hard thing. So we're there basically to help them with that. And often the hardest thing is when you have parents on different sides. And I think that's one of the hardest things. And extended family who don't accept the situation either. And we're there to help with that as well.
Yeah, it's kind of,
we get a message come through. They're asking, why did you choose Gender Fairy?
Good question. It just came to me. The whole book just came to me. I think it's something quite childlike, and I love fairy tales. I was a primary teacher by trade, and I studied literature and children's literature, and I've always studied fairy tales, so I've had a big passion for them all my life. And the fairy's non-binary, so the fairy is not a girl.
It is pretty.
Doesn't have to be a girl, does it?
No, it does not.
Megan's a big fairy.
Yes, I flutter around the studio and around Joy like nothing else.
It's true.
No. Actually, there's a video of you and I getting around on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, there is, actually.
I think it was on our Facebook page of you and I skipping up and down the studio.
Big, massive fairies. do you have many much interaction with other trans adults or those who don't identify as children who come in and speak to the children or to the parents? Like,
we've had some older children come into the group, which has been fantastic, and one male trans adult. So yeah. The older kids have been such wonderful role models. Mm-hmm. They've been fantastic, and I know they've helped my son and other children as well, but we haven't had a lot of transgender adults come into the group.
See, you're just gonna have to have Ani Mish and Ani Migs come in.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's all good.
Yeah. We'd love that.
Yeah, we can do that.
That would be wonderful.
That'd be fine. No, yeah. just you want to make sure that you're being positive role models for the kids. Mm. And
yeah, we're just getting ourselves gigs along the
way. we'll be honorary aunties for like the whole community of trans kids.
Yeah. Well, the whole point of the get-togethers is to make everyone realise that this is normal, that they are normal, that everything's okay. So the more the better.
Mm. I'll define exactly. Where I'm from. Sign us up. Sign us up.
Well, being parents ourselves, you know, we have the struggles of being the parent, but we don't understand or see. I mean, we were children once who dealt with the dysphoria, but we fought through because of society and what society said we should and shouldn't be. But you know, we don't see it from that angle from the younger age, and so it's neat for us to.
It is. I think for myself though, as a parent. One of my biggest fears for my children is them being bullied because I'm trans.
Yeah.
Which is one of the biggest things.
It's our biggest fear. Yeah. Absolutely. And it does happen, even with safe schools in there. Children bully anyone who's different. Mm. Often it's fine, it's fantastic. You just get that one occasion where the odd little thing happens.
Oh, God, yeah, I was different at school and I was continually bullied. But explains enough about me.
But, but for me personally, though, I would love for my children to meet a bunch of trans children to know that there's not just adults who are trans, but that there's children who are trans.
Yeah.
And that, you know, this isn't just...
It's normal.
Just daddy, but it's everybody, you know.
It's everybody.
And like you and I talked on the phone, I did struggle finding other parents. I mean, Megan and I here being parents, but then, you know, just those other parents that are so actively involved in their kids' lives. And and I know your kids every now and then struggle with some things. And
but you know, we get through it.
You're getting there.
Yeah, you know. Absolutely. It's all good.
Mm. So, yeah.
And we want our kids to be parents one day too.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly. Mm.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, if you do have any questions yourself or anything you'd like to share with myself, Mings, or Joe, you can SMS us at 0427-JOY949 or...
You can also email us onair@joy.org.au.
You are listening to Trans Positions on Joy 94.9. Hello,
Maisie. Hello, Michelle.
You were like on guard, ready to go.
You know, actually, before, right at the start, we were talking about genders and gender binaries and colours and pink and blues and those kinds of things. I'm going to share it right now on our Facebook page, but a little while ago I came across like a really good TED Talk. It was actually called Understanding the Complexities of Gender, and it was by Sam Kellerman. Mm-hmm. And an absolutely amazing talk that Sam delivered. So I'm going to share that right now. Well, the next 1 to 2 minutes, I'm trying to YouTube and things over. But facebook.com/transpositions on Joy is our link on YouTube. Sorry, on Facebook. Oh, God, I'm losing my mind. But yeah, seriously, guys, actually go there now. And at the end of the show, when we're finished, have a good watch of that video. It's actually really, really good.
Now, again, our guest is Joe Hurst, and Joe is very active in supporting diversity for children in the community and participates in various community forums and parent gatherings. So, Joe, if you were to go and say to any parent that's dealing with this right now with their child, what is your advice, the first things that they need to do or first steps, or who do they contact? Or
if they're in Melbourne, I would, first of all, listen to my child and let them know that you understand them and everything's going to be okay. And know that everything will be okay and it's not that scary. I would contact Gender Help for Parents Australia. I would email us for help and support, and we can give you all the information that you need. And also we have the wonderful gender service at the Royal Children's Hospital, which is absolutely awesome. We are so lucky to have that. Mm.
And if anybody does struggle actually finding any of those groups, you can contact us here on Transpositions, and we can always forward them on to yourselves as well.
Great. Yeah, genderhelpforparents.com.au, I think. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it's you can contact here as well for that.
Because it's actually, you know, a really scary thing for a child coming out as being trans, and it's just like, well, what do you do? What do I turn to? And, you know, one of the things that both Michelle and I are happy to do here is, you know, if you're sitting out there and you're trying to figure out, well, what do I do with this? How what do I do with that? You know, you can reach out to us. You can email us, transpositions@joy.org.au. You know, we're happy to try and forge you on to contacts that we've got who might be able to help you, or at least maybe point you in the right direction, because, you know, for a lot of us, we are trying to figure this out as we go along, and there is no set book or manual. And yeah. Hey, we get a message.
The question is, it's regarding to your book again, should I wait until I meet a transgender child or have a transgender myself, say in a class, before I read this to, say, my child or to students or anything like that?
Absolutely not. I think all children need to know about gender diversity, especially in school, definitely. 1.2% of all children identify as transgender, all school children, and that's a lot. So if you've got a school of, say, 500 kids, you've got at least 5 transgender children in there, and then possibly more who are gender fluid as well, a lot more.
And there's so many different resources, other books that are out there as well that are really being pushed, I think, within the schools. I know in the States there was the I Am Jazz
was great.
Pulled it from some of the schools.
Yeah, it was. There was a school in America, and I've been in contact with that mum privately, actually.
The one that banned it, or the one
whose child was going to the school where it was banned, and she was very upset.
Oh.
Very upset, because the school wanted to be supportive, but a religious lobby came in and put pressure on the school, and they withdrew. I think that's since changed, and
so
it's calmed down.
We've got a religious lobby here as well.
We do.
Mm-hmm. And we've discussed that off air. We'd be using kids' gloves, you know. We don't want to use kid gloves, but...
You know what? I really would love to get stuck into these people, but...
I know. Unfortunately, the thing is they're not dealing with them themselves.
Yeah.
And
yeah. No one chooses to be trans. No one chooses to be trans.
And the thing that we do have to understand, and there's a lot of misinformation out there about transgender children, there's a big desistance myth. So there was a lot of discredited research done in the past that's been completely discredited, that said 80% of children change their minds by puberty. It is not true. It is false. Most decent doctors completely discredit it, but a lot of people don't realise that yet. So people like the religious lobbies still use that old discredited information to say, oh, but these kids will change their mind.
But a lot of those kids that actually included in that were children that are gender diverse who don't really identify as trans.
That was one of the problems, yes.
Yeah, and so a large portion, like, look, Neil, it's just who I am and who I was, but they don't show the same characteristics as the transgender children wanting to harm themselves.
The children in the research weren't necessarily transgender children. Also, they were using conversion therapy. Also, they didn't follow up. So if a child didn't come back to the survey, they counted them as cured. Yeah, well, they probably didn't come back because they didn't like the treatment.
Well, I know that a lot of gay conversion therapies in the US were banned, and Des, yeah, it's the same thing with trans.
Well, what's happened to the people who did this research now is they don't exist anymore. So
technically,
they've been got rid of. Yeah. So unfortunately, though, people are still using, and even some doctors in Australia still don't know and still use this research. And so there are people who want that myth to perpetuate who still use it.
The biggest problem is, people don't understand being trans, it's not a choice. It's actually a biological thing which happens.
Yeah.
And it happens predominantly when the fetus is in utero. And it's through no fault or mistake of the parents or the child or anything else like that. It's just the way in which things happen. So no one chooses to be.
Diversity is part of nature, and it's a beautiful part of nature that we need to celebrate and accept, not get down on it and try and pretend it doesn't exist. Mm. We need to embrace it.
Well, transgender has been around for centuries. You know, it's just, you know, over time, it's just changed so much. But like you were saying before as well, you were saying, oh, yeah, these children are like 4 and 5 and whatever. And I remember saying to you that, you know, I remember when I was four and going through it and saying, you know, this is what I am and who I am, but because of where I was in society, Midwest, Bible Belt, USA, you know, I had to go and follow a certain path because that's what I was forced into. Mm. And like you said, oh my God, that's really great to hear as a parent of a trans child that it's not just, you know, as the adults as well.
But that's a society that we live in, and gender is a societal construct that because you're born with either a penis or a vagina, that you are, this is what your gender is, whereas, you know,
it's just not like that. It's a spectrum.
It is a spectrum, and just as children, also some children are born as being intersex as well. It's no choice of their own. It's just a part of as to how people develop.
Yeah, and some boys have vaginas and some girls have penises and some people are somewhere in between and some people are a bit of both, and it's all good.
It is all good.
Well, we're all a bunch of hot chickies in here today. All right, well, we will be back shortly. You are listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
Bulletproof Mission Critical Hosting powered the federal budget, Olympics and Movember websites to 100% campaign uptime and performance in 2012. Register now at bulletproof.net/joy for your free consultation on how to bulletproof your website. Sponsoring Joy.
Your viewing forecast for Melbourne. Today, cool, a top of 22 degrees.
Nice.
Revised forecast. Melbourne, rain, a top of 31 degrees.
What?
Revised forecast. Melbourne, sunny, a top of 39 degrees.
Why, Melbourne? Why?
You can't always rely on the forecast, but you can rely on the Pancake Parlour. When the temperature hits 30 degrees or more this summer, you'll cool down with a free drink at Joy's sponsor, the Pancake Parlour. Yeah, a free drink. A delicious Swiss Mountain Malt, creamy ice cream soda, lemon iced tea, or traditional house-made lemonade. Register now at summerparlour.com.au for your Summer Parlour loyalty card.
The Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9 presents Pets Allowed. Allowed. Join the Lost Dogs Home crew and friends for Pets Allowed, exploring all things animal from wet nose to wagging tail. Fridays from noon on Joy. News, views, interviews, advice and everything mice. Brought to you by Joy sponsor, the Lost Dogs Home. Pets Allowed on Joy. More fun than you can wag your tail at.
We're cool for the summer. Joy's 94 Days of Summer is here. Sign up or renew as a member during our 94 Days of Summer for your chance to win our mystery grand prize. Plus, each entry also goes into the draw to win a great weekly prize.
This week's fabulous weekly prize is two tickets to the Sugar Mountain Festival, Saturday, January 23rd at the Victorian College of the Arts, featuring another mouth-watering program of the best cutting-edge music and visual art from across Australia and beyond. This year's lineup features acts like Hot Chip, Dirty Three, Courtney Barnett, Kate Tempest, Tim Sweeney and more. Thanks to Joy sponsor Sugar Mountain.
So renew or become a Joy member now. Head to joy.org.au or give us a call on 1300 JOY 949. Spend your 94 days of summer with us. Hashtag 94 days. Joy 94.9. Your voice, your radio station.
You are listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9 with Michelle and Megan Smith.
Well, it is that time of the evening again where we do need to say goodbye. And thank you very much, Jo, for coming in and visiting us.
Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity.
Oh, it's so good. You're welcome. You know.
Now, it is midsummer, and on the 17th on Sunday is Carnival.
Yes.
Now, will you be hanging out at Carnival at all?
I will be. I can't wait. And also, I'll be marching for the first time, and Gender Help for Parents will be marching for the first time, the families and children. We are so excited.
Now, will you be at any of the booths or something at Carnival as well? Or?
No, we don't have a booth.
Okay, not fair enough. Well, but you can come and visit Megan and myself as a meet and greet between 1 and 1.30 on Sunday.
At the Joy Tent.
At the Joy Tent.
Yes, we want to come and see you.
We
want you to come and say hello to us. And maybe might take some photos.
Oh, we'll come and say hello
You should. Now, if you did miss today's show, you can get us on our podcast on joy.org.au/transpositions, or you can get us on the Apple Podcast app, and it just updates onto your device automatically.
Yeah, and as I said, during the week, you can reach us. You can email us, transpositions@joy.org.au. Also, if you want to get our Facebook page, you can reach us at facebook.com/transpositionsonjoy. So we always do post lots of really cool things actually up on our Facebook page. So always take a look at that. And you can also message us through there as well. I know there's been plenty of people who message us through directly through our Facebook page. And
well, yeah, we're also twitsing on Instagram and we're twits.
Well, you're the twit.
But if you also, here we are. Yeah. If you also want to reach out to Joe, Joe's website is thegenderfairy.com.
Thank you. Yes. You're quite welcome. There's lots of information there. You can reach gender help for parents and all sorts of things.
Mm. Well, like I said, it is the end of the show. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again next Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Yeah. And also on Sunday at Carnival.
Carnival, yeah. Actually, coming up in a moment, we've got the Chatterbox guys. They're sort of getting there, ready to wait for us.
They're ready for us now.
Are they ready for us now? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, they're waving at us.
Well, right.
Guess what? So we've got the Chatterbox guys, and they are waving at us, and they're getting really excited. So we're going to be having... Well, they're coming.
Let them have it.
Yeah, we're going to let them have it.
All right, everyone. Good evening. We'll talk to you soon.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.